Luke chapter 15, the young lady was playing Nearer My God to Thee. I got to thinking a little bit about history, and if you know, when the Titanic was going down, the musicians on that boat were playing that song. As so many people were ushered into the presence of eternity, either with their Savior or in hell. But what a moving song. I appreciate that. Luke chapter 15, I want to preach on the lost coin this morning. Luke chapter 15, there are very few chapters in the Word of God that have changed the lives of more people than this chapter right here because of what's written in it. And I'd like us to look at this very, very classic passage of Scripture and read it this morning. Luke chapter 15. Do you normally stand for the reading of God's word? If you would stand, we'll read Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd be honored in this place as your word is preached. Lord, we thank you for the perfect salvation you provided for us from hell, from the penalty of our sins. We thank you for that salvation. And Father, we just want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make him known unto all. And Lord, you promised to draw men unto yourself. And Lord, I just pray for your power and liberty as the word is preached. I pray, Lord, that you would stir the hearts of Christians. Lord, that the gospel would mean more to us than it ever has meant before. Lord, I pray that it would stir us to want to serve you with all the intensity of our spirit. I pray, Lord, if there is someone here that is lost, like this coin, that they would be found, and we'll be careful to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In this chapter, there are three parables given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that a parable has been termed an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Each of these parables is about something that was lost and was found. This is the lost and found chapter in the Word of God. We see the parable of the lost sheep, the lost son, and the lost silver. The finding of each of these lost things produced incredible joy. Now, the audience for these parables was motley, to say the least. In verse number 1, we read that these were publicans and sinners. First of all, publicans, tax collectors. We're getting around to that time. Nobody likes the IRS. These people came to hear Jesus, and the sinners as well. We're all sinners. And then Christ was ridiculed in verse number 2 by the religious people. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners." He was ridiculed because he received sinners. I'm so glad that Jesus receives sinful men. But he still spoke to them anyway. Even though they were ridiculing him, he answered these fools according to their folly. Verse number one, we see the sinners and we see the publicans. These people who had tasted the awful dregs of sin and were tired of it, I believe that these were some people that sought relief. They sought relief. Now you got some scoundrels in verse number two, but in verse number one, these people sought Jesus. They drew near for to hear him. But Christ decides to answer the religious goody two-shoes in verse number two with three powerful short stories. Lost and found stories. Each parable shows the burden that Jesus has for the lost. And Christian, would to God we would have a burden for the lost that would cause us to speak. This chapter is also a rebuke to religious leaders who don't care about the spiritual welfare of the people they lead. I apply that to the social gospel of today that tries to help people in every area except the area where they need it most. Jesus here is showing concern for their soul. And this morning, I want to dwell on that lost coin. I want us to look at that lost coin. A woman had 10 silver coins in her house, and she lost one. So she lit a candle, swept the house until she found the coin. And when she found it, there was great rejoicing. The coin was lost because it fell from its intended place. Now, I am taking this parable and I'm reading into it. I'm filling in some of the things if this were something that had actually occurred. If the coin fell, it was supposed to be somewhere, and it fell from that intended place. Perhaps the woman was counting the coins on a table, and she dropped one. Or perhaps it fell out of her apron. Or maybe her little boy was playing with the coins and thought it was a toy. But however you cut it, nobody likes to lose money. Now, we like to find money. Man, I was going down Chicago one day on a street by my house, and I was just about 12, 13 years old, and I looked down, and there was a wad of money. $60 to a 12-year-old growing up in the projects of Chicago. Man, I thought I was rich. But I also had the opposite experience of losing some money. I was 7 years old, had just gotten my first $5 bill. Had never had a $5 bill that much money at one time. And I lost it. Man, my heart was broken. So I can empathize a little bit with this woman. The coin was lost in the house. Now that's significant. Tuck that in the back of your mind. It was lost in the house. The coin was lost because of the carelessness of another. Somebody dropped it. When that coin fell from its intended place, that coin became useless. You can't spend money that you don't have. If it's lost, you can't use it. They didn't have credit cards in the Bible. They didn't have online ordering and that type of thing. The coin was lost, and wherever it was useless. Man, you can have $72,000 in cash in a bag, but if you lose the bag, the money's not going to help you at all. According to the weight and value of silver in that day, each coin was about the price of a full day's work. And this would be a precious coin. She only had 10 of them in this parable, 10 pieces. And despite the value of that coin, it was worthless because it was lost. Again, because it was lost, it couldn't do anybody any good. It couldn't pay anyone's salary. It couldn't pay anyone's taxes. It couldn't put food on anyone's table. It could not be used for charity to help the poor. It was valuable, it was precious, but it was utterly useless. The coin also became unclean. That coin would fall, and it would fall onto the floor. That's why she swept floors are normally not the cleanest parts of our houses. They're normally the dirtiest parts. Even of a clean house, the dirtiest part is normally the floor. And in Bible times, they were dirt floors. My wife and I had the privilege of visiting Zambia, Africa, and we saw some of those thatch roof huts and the dirt floors. So I can picture that in my mind's eye. The coin would become unclean. If you could imagine when that coin would drop, poof, into the dust, into the dirt. But praise God, the coin was not ignored. When the woman discovered that the coin was lost, she started searching until that coin was found. She was motivated not by pity, like the lost sheep that we read about earlier, or the lost son that's later in this chapter. She was not motivated by pity. Coins don't have feelings, but she was motivated by the preciousness of that coin, the fact that it was valuable. So in a day with no electricity, she lit a candle. Not a candle like you and I would imagine, but a little clay lamp that you would fill with oil and put a wick inside and put on some type of a stand. She lit that thing, and that portable light shining in a house that normally has no light except for the door, maybe a window, and she would use that to look for the coin. She also decided in verse number 8 to sweep the house. So she had a good broom. She would never find the coin without stirring things up a bit. That would help. That coin would get covered by dirt and debris that was on the floor. And so she dedicated herself to finding it diligently. I like that in verse number 8 where it says, and seek diligently till she find it. See, she searched until that thing was found. Man, this is a silver coin. This coin is worth a whole day's labor. I'm going to find it. She would leave nothing covered. She'd uncover everything. She would be organized and systematic. She would think to herself, where did I last have that coin? And through the process of elimination, she would work herself back to where that coin was. This was a quality search. I don't know if you've ever lost something. I have great experience with it. And it's always at the last minute, the car keys, the wallet. I mean, stuff you always carry around every day. Where is it at? And then you're just, I'm mad and angry and, oh, I'll tell you a dirty little secret. We were on our way to our family vacation, and I was so excited that we were leaving on a Monday morning. It was a Sunday night. I came home, and I always take my piece off that I carry in Chicago legally, and I always put it away. And I don't know what was going on in my brain, but I could not find that thing. Scared to death. And you say, where did you search? Everywhere. I was on my way to the police station to file a report because you have to do that if you lose it. And I'm thinking, I cannot believe this. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. You say, where did you end up finding it? In the bottom of the dirty clothes hamper. But I worked my way back to that thing until I found it. This was a quality search. This was a till she find it search. The parable of the lost coin, though, ends in joy. And I remember when I found that thing, praise the Lord. Joy. She found that coin. There was joy, great rejoicing, called her friends, neighbors together and said, rejoice with me. That coin that I had lost, I found it. Friends, don't miss the meaning of that parable. Christian, think back to when you were lost. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, think of yourself in terms of this precious but lost coin. We are each born into this world as that lost coin. And Jesus said that he, as the Son of Man, is come to seek, and to save that which was lost. by his death on the cross, his burial, and his glorious resurrection, we can be found. All we like sheep have gone astray according to God's word. We've broken his commandments. There's not one person in here. I read part of my devotions this morning, reading through the Bible, Exodus chapter 20, looking at those commandments. There's not one person in this room that can say they've kept all of those 10 commandments. Bible says thou shalt not bear false witness. The Bible says all men are liars. Because we are sinners, not worthy of heaven, we better do what the publicans and sinners did in verse number 1. Would you look there with me? The Bible says that they drew near unto him. We better do that. You must hear him if he's going to help you. And in order to have his help, you've got to draw near to him. You've got to listen to what he says. Most people today spend their leisure time listening to what other things and other people have to say. And so they don't make the time that they need to draw near unto him, because they're too busy trying to figure out what Google has to say about it. They're too busy trying to figure out what so-and-so has to say about it, what Rush Limbaugh has to say about it, what the television has to say about it, what friends have to say about it. You won't get much help that way until you're concerned about what he has to say and you draw near unto him like these publicans and sinners did. That coin represents the soul of man. And I just want you to see three things about it before we leave today. Number one, the falling of the coin. Number two, the finding of the coin. And then third, the fellowship after the coin was found. Number one, the falling. The coin was lost because it fell from its intended place. That speaks to me of the fall of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created morally innocent and without sin. And when sin entered into the human race, man fell like that coin from its exalted position down to the ground. Sin always lowers us. Sin always takes you south, never north. Sin means to miss the mark. When I was a kid, we liked to play marbles, and I don't know what the rules of marbles are, but we had one way we liked to play it. We would dig a hole in the ground, and we would take our thumb and see who could get in the hole and knock other people out of the way on our way into the hole. And you miss the hole, you miss the mark. I like shooting baskets. I like playing some basketball. I played on a couple teams when I was a kid. And you stand there at the free throw line. You get your two shots. Bong! Off the rim. Bong! You've missed the mark. Well, I do like to go target practicing and making sure I'm good to handle my pieces. And you, boy, you missed the bullseye. You've missed the mark. We have all missed the mark. And those that are not yet found need to see themselves as a fallen coin. Now, if you remember, this coin was lost in the house. In the house. Even though it was in the house, it was lost. You can come from a good house and be lost. You can come from a good home and be lost. You can come from a good church and be lost. A good home and a good church will give you a greater opportunity to hear the gospel, but it doesn't guarantee your salvation unless you draw near to hear him and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. The coin was lost by the carelessness of another. Sheep stray by themselves, but coins don't have legs. And so if a coin is going to be lost, somebody had to do it. The carelessness of another. And we could point to the carelessness of Adam and Eve, and we could point at their sin in the garden, and we could say, because of their carelessness, we fell. But Adam and Eve, they're not here today to make us sin. We sin by our own choice. It's easy to just blame Adam and Eve. When I lead people to Christ, I will tell them about Adam and Eve, and I'll say, what does that make you feel about Adam and Eve? Oh, those scoundrels. And what I want to do is lead them to the fact that we're sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice. But I want them to blame Adam and Eve a little bit. And yeah, they hadn't have done it. And I'll say, yeah, it's like somebody with AIDS, and they take a needle and they go around and just stick in everybody else. Yeah, Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve. And then I say, but wait a minute. Adam and Eve, they're not here with a gun to your head now saying, take that booze. No. We sin by choice. When that coin fell, it became useless. So it is with a lost sinner. In a very real sense, you may not like to hear this, but in a very real sense, if you're not saved, as far as God using you for his work and for his service, you are utterly useless. Saul of Tarsus was useless when he was Saul of Tarsus. But when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and he became a child of God, he became useful for the Lord's work. The coin fell on the floor and it became dirty. What an accurate picture of what sin does to people today. The sodomites, the fornication. I preached to the teenagers yesterday on the sin of fornication. Blasphemy. Disobedience to parents, lying, bitterness. Let's go into the sophisticated sins of God's folk. Pride, envy. Those sins are proof that we are a race of fallen coins. In the dirt. Sin makes us dirty, and there's only one way to be clean and fit for heaven, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only the falling, but let's look at the finding. The falling and then the finding. If you're here today as a lost coin, you are not here by accident. I believe in the providence of God. And you come tonight and you hear my testimony, you'll know why I believe in the providence of God. I believe in God's providence, and God brought you here today. And it may be that God brought you here to hear this message of a lost coin so that you could see yourself as a lost sinner and so that you could hear the gracious word that Christ receiveth sinners. Today can be that day for you. In the parable, the woman lit a candle. She lit a candle. The candle, I believe, is symbolic of God's word that shines upon our lost condition. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's why we need to read the Bible. We need to understand its message. If you don't have a Bible, boy, I'm sure this good church would help you to get a Bible. But listen, you need to get a Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to read it faithfully. And when a message from God's word is preached, you need to be there. It's not going to help you if you're at home. And you're certainly going to stay lost if you're at home watching Brother Joel. You're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo listening to Joel. But if you hear the Bible, God can use it like a lamp or a candle to search and show you what manner of man you really are so that you can be saved from hell. You see your sin, you turn to Christ. God sometimes has to stir things up a bit for you to be found. And so he'll take that broom that the woman took, and he'll bring a health problem. He'll bring a financial difficulty. He'll bring an issue with your marriage, an issue with your family. It may be his way of taking the broom to stir things up so you can be found. Today, if you're lost, God is looking diligently for you too. That's why he brought you to this church. He's looking diligently for you to be found. And lastly, when you are found, there will be fellowship. Great joy. We rejoiced last night because a young person prayed to be saved. And boy, if you see your lost condition today and if you pray to be saved, guess what we're going to do? We're going to rejoice. Don't listen to the devil as the devil says, oh, people think I'm already saved, and if they knew that I'm lost and if I make a profession, they're going to look at me funny. No, that's pride and that's the devil whispering that in your ear. You know what's going to happen? We're going to rejoice. Look at verse number 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. You're not going to find joy sleeping around. You're not going to find, you'll get a disease, but you're not going to find joy. You're not going to find joy in booze. You're going to find a bad liver and a drained wallet. That's what you'll find. You won't find joy in drugs. You're not going to find joy in pornography. You're going to find a polluted mind and a destroyed marriage. But there is joy that comes when you find Jesus Christ. April 22nd, 1993, this lost coin was found. You know what it produced? Great joy. I can't even put it into words. I don't have the tongue to put it into words. But those of you that know the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. There'll be joy in heaven too, the Bible says in verse number 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Boy, sinners repenting is important to those in heaven. They're not rejoicing over the Super Bowl. Bears finally had a decent season. 1985, they won the Super Bowl. I was a little kid in Chicago, and ever since then, they've stunk. But the Angels aren't excited because the Bears have a good season. They're not excited over the NBA playoffs. They're not excited over the World Series. That's stuff that doesn't matter to the Angels. But when they see a young girl pray to ask Christ to save her, they get real excited about that, friend. And you and I ought to get excited about it, too. This world has tried all it can to get happiness. Booze, drugs, illicit sex, gambling, stealing. But true happiness doesn't come from wrong living. It comes from repenting of that wrong living and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ironically, it was in a small rural Indiana town. A man went on a hot air balloon ride. That balloon was attached to a basket by three ropes. As the man soared upward, the people saw him cut one of the ropes. And instantly they thought, this man's trying to commit suicide. And they yelled and they screamed and shouted, don't cut that rope. There's two more ropes. But they saw him cut it. Then they said, don't cut the last rope. These people are screaming and yelling. But in a moment, he cut the last rope and plummeted to his death. Every time a person rejects Christ, they're cutting a rope. One day you're going to cut that last rope and it's going to be too late for you, friend. You'll spend eternity in the place the Bible calls hell. But you can be found. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you have the testimony of a coin that was lost, but you know that you've been found because you were there when it happened and you remember it, and it was according to the gospel of the Word of God, Christ only, nothing else. And you know that you know that you know that you are saved, that you've been found. Would you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just testify to that fact by raising your hand? I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Thank you. Thank you. If you are here and you're lost, you're lost, and you say, God brought me here today to hear that message, and I need to be found. I need to be found. I'm lost, Pastor Lewis, but I need to be found. Pray for me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up and put it down. Slip it up and put it down. Would there be a Christian here today that would say, Pastor Lewis, as you preached, in my mind's eye, I went back to when I was found, and it could be that I've lost sight of the preciousness of that salvation and my need to get it to others. And God spoke to my heart this morning. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Christian. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the gospel can be preached in this place. We thank you for all the people that gathered together to hear the old story. Father, I pray that we would not leave our first love. It's so easy for us, Lord, to leave our first love. And I pray that, God, I know as I preached, I went back to when I was that lost coin. Father, help us not to forget the hole from whence we were dug. Lord, help us to always remember what we were, dead in trespasses and sins when you found us. And may that stir us to get that same message to others. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name.